Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap, a podcast about the Chicago Bears presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300, and you can follow my co-host, Joey, at JoeyKnowsNothing, and Quentin, at BuckThisStats. This evening, what a fine evening it was. Chicago may be the best city in all 50 states, but I'll tell you what, it's definitely better than Boston and Foxborough, whatever you want to say, wherever the Patriots play. As our Chicago Bears found a way to win a football game, and not just win a football game, they dominated every aspect. Bears win this one 33-14. Beautiful on offense, beautiful on defense. We had some good plays on special teams. Great complimentary football, and from the very outset of the game, they dominated it. But let me check in with my co-hosts, and then we'll get into the fun that this evening was, because on this very show last week, Quentin brought up a stat about us on primetime, and I think we put that stat to death, finally, for once and for all. Joey, how are you, my guy? Mr. Clean Shaven, you look like you're like 17 right now.
That's what I was going for, baby. I'm going for the young and improved Bears right here. This is the young and improved rookie Bears look right here, and we hacksaw Jim Duggan the beard. We have a new tradition now because the halftime tradition that I was going for was not working. It proved to not work the last time I did it. So now we pregame.
It wasn't working depending on which way you look at it, but that's neither here nor there.
That's true. The other half of it worked. Just the part where the Bears win didn't work. But yeah, man, I'm excited, dude. I'm jacked up. We were talking a little bit pre-show about this. This is the first time from everything I can check that the Bears have won in New England. So pretty cool stuff, man. You beat the freaking GOAT, Bill Belichick. You outcoached and outplayed a defense led by Bill Belichick, coached by Bill Belichick. That's pretty cool stuff, man. I'm good.
Quentin, how about you, my guy?
Man, so I don't know if y'all caught the whole pregame and all the George Halas talk, like Bill Belichick's about to pass George Halas with this game and this and that. And It feels to me like George Halas, you know, from the heavens, it's kind of like, not if I have anything to say about it. And this is incredible. You know why this game is so incredible to me? Because of that right there. The McCaskies were not embarrassed by being the team that Belichick passes Halas on. If the McCaskies have anything to say about this, Justin Fields is going to be your guy next year, just based on that alone, I think, which makes me very happy because I believe in him. And it shouldn't be based on something like that, but I think it is. I think he got that love from the McCaskies tonight, and that's going to get him a lot more leash to be good and bad going into next year and still be seen as the future of the team.
Oh, George McCaskey is undoubtedly going to be thudding his chest at a local high school football game or whatever, you know, youth sport he's refereeing.
Baseball.
Yeah. No, he's a soccer ref, too. Oh, I was listening to 670 one day, and they said he was out there reffing a youth soccer game. So he's just a man of many trades, but one of those trades is not football. And it's unfortunate for him, but he's the butt of many jokes in this city. But like I said, you can't tell Chicago shit today. The Bulls beat the Celtics, and that was not not even close. And the Bears, like, come on. We talked last week on the show, the Bears, the last 9 primetime games, 0-9, and the point differential was like
in the hundreds.
Cumberland versus Georgia Tech in 1863 or whatever fucking year it was. And the fact of the matter is like, you came into this game thinking, okay, it's Monday Night Football, you have 10 days off, you have a chance to get whatever players were hurt back. We came into this game with a clean injury report. N'Keal Harry makes his debut. He only had one catch. It's okay. He still got out there, still got in the thick of things of the offense. And honestly, like I said before we started the show, I've been doing this show for 4 years. There has not been one single soul episode that we have recorded that I don't think, like, there hasn't been a complaint. This might be the first episode since the inception of this show that we can sit back and say, offensively, defensively, even on special teams and the coaching, everything looked perfect. And it was in the bright lights of Monday Night Football. It was on the road. You were 8.5-point favorites to Bill Belichick, a coach that you've beaten one time and played – Joey, I don't know how many times they've played, if you could look that up for me, in the Belichick era, because I'm pretty sure he's beaten us every single time. And you basically made the Patriots your bitch, for lack of better terms. Like, the meatball model, pretty damn close, Quentin. I saw you with the little 46-10 prediction, and it really – if you look at the score for what it is, it was 40-14 because the Bears elected to let their foot off the gas at the end. But, yeah, rest in peace to anyone who took, like, a live over that needed that touchdown. That person wasn't me. But beautiful, beautiful week to be a Bears fan. And let's just talk about the
– So, B-Down, wait. So, in the Belichick era, they had only beaten Bill the first year that he was coach.
Which was 2000.
Yeah, and then other than that, they've lost 5 straight games before tonight. And they have not won in New England by everything I can look at ever in New England. So pretty awesome.
But you take the way that you lose against Minnesota in heartbreaking fashion. You lose against Washington the way we lost, where our offense looked the way it did last week. And then you come into this game and you score 40 points. I saw a stat that said that we haven't scored 40 points in 20 years. Like,
that's fucked up. I don't know if that's right though. 20
it might years. Be it might be on the road, but either way, it was like 2002 against the Jaguars. Did it, dude? Today's the Sabermetrics day. I thought you were grabbing the phone to look that stat up, but it was one of the reporters. There was a blue check mark attached to it. But yeah, Fields looked good. Herbert, like let's talk about that too. Best screen pass I think I've ever seen. We just watched 4 years of screen passes of dudes running into each other's assholes. Okay?
Ugly.
And that screen pass right there at the end of the half to set up the 2-for-1 flipped the whole script on the game. Because right after I follow like the numbers and the lines and all that stuff, and I pulled up the book right after the Bears went down. And everything reset right back to the original price and number for money line and spread. Obviously, the over-under was too far gone to reset back to 40.5 or whatever it was. But the world was expecting the Bears to just be the Bears in the second half. And the Bears turned into – I don't even know what it was. But I would like to see more of that in the second half of the season because that was a lot of fun.
Dude, we've talked about it a lot on the show. They've been a second-half team. Like, they have come out and been a second-half team, making adjustments in the second half at halftime. And this is beautiful that Ken says right here. Bears winning multiple bets cash in the first half. Not a bad Monday night
football. Ken Bezos.
Yeah, baby. It's true, though. Like, the passing rushing yards combined in the first half, there were a lot of things that just made you feel good about tonight. But, dude, I forget where I was at now when I was talking, but I feel like – a lot of things you could take away from this game where they just did things much differently. Not only did they make adjustments at halftime for the second half, but they outcoached and made adjustments better than Bill did. Like, that says something, because Quint, you talked about in the previous show how well coached this team is just from watching their all 22, which we already knew that Bill's the GOAT. But like, the fact that you have a new coaching staff doing this, there's no way, in my opinion, a past Bears team would have been able to overcome, or like, you get a new quarterback in the game and they change things offensively, like New England did, seemingly. Absolutely no shot that they're going to make those adjustments and react to that, to Bailey Zappe coming into the game, which at first it looked like it was horrible. When he first came in the game, they got 2 quick touchdowns, and then it was like, oh no, here we go. And no, they put the clamps on him, dude. They made the adjustments necessary, put the clamps on him. There is no Zappy hour this week. You can shut that down. The quarterback controversy, I don't even know what they're doing in New England, but Bears.
We have one quarterback that looked better than both of their quarterbacks tonight. And honestly, hats off to the defense. Defense had like 4 turnovers, 3 of which were picks. Both of our rookie guys got their first career interception today. Brisker, right after getting a swift kick right in the dick, and he said, you know what? I don't like the way you do business. I'm picking you off. And then Kyler Gordon at the end, which was just like, that was the interception where I think all 3 of us were probably just laughing. Like, wow, this is what – usually we're on the other side of this, right? Usually we're the team that's throwing these picks and looking like this down the stretch. And to be the team that was, you know, getting the interceptions and running away with the game already up 27. I don't even know how to act at this point, as you guys can all see.
So Mac Jones came for Jaquan Brisker's balls, and Jaquan came for Mac Jones' ball. It's a beautiful metaphor right there.
It is.
Balls don't lie.
And there was a zappy hour. It's 1 hour, and then it's over.
Which I think great. It was like 20 minutes, to be honest, but yeah.
First hour of the game. Yeah, I mean, the thing that I'm just thinking through this game, recount how many times in this game Justin Fields bailed out the offense, and just now imagine what it would look like if he had someone to bail him out. You know, I mean, he showed a lot out there tonight. He was the thing that really sticks to me is he was not what's the big play hunting. He was not big play.
He was just playing his game.
When it wasn't there, he moved on and got the ball out on time to the guy it was supposed to go to when he had time. And when he didn't, he just got the hell out of Dodge and picked up some yards. It was, I mean,
82 on the ground, Q.
How he could have played a better game. I mean, he had, what, maybe two throws that were interceptable. One of those was the tip pass, which is kind of iffy whether it's on him. He had the one that he put short to Mooney, a little behind him. That ball could have been picked. But outside of those two throws, I mean, I don't know that there was a lot that I really knocked him for that I couldn't attribute to a wet football or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say that one play where there was nobody open and he kind of rolled out to the right side and kind of held the ball a little bit too long where he was kind of trying to make a play. He didn't take off and run, but he looked like he was trying to make a play, and then he got sacked and the ball was fumbled out of bounds.
Yeah.
I think that play was like the only one where I was like, all right, you probably got to get rid of the ball in that situation. Yeah. But other than that, man, I don't know what more you can ask for from Justin Fields. Like you said, yeah, there were a couple plays where maybe the ball was wet where he threw it into the ground or overshot his receiver just a tad, or you know, the ball security issues. I mean, the Bears, what, they lost five fumbles overall and didn't lose a single one, but they fumbled the ball five times in this game, I think. So that's probably something you could critique, just like better ball security overall from a Bears standpoint.
Yeah, we lost five fumbles and Amir Smith-Marset did not play today.
And he didn't play.
He's no longer a part of our team.
We still have that that stank on the Bears. The ISM stank is still there. But, yeah, man. I mean, dude, he was legitimately – he bailed out the offense a lot, and they used him to his strengths. I mean, credit to Getsy. Like, a lot of the – we saw some more RPOs. We saw some more, like, play-action boots. We saw like the screens, the short game, the intermediate routes, especially early in the game. Like we talked about, they have no short passing game and no intermediate game. Like that was a point that we brought up in the preview episode, and we saw that tonight. And then he still took some deeper shots, but did things with his legs that, I mean, he can really bait a linebacker into thinking he's going to run at any point when he flashes those legs, because it's like, you have to respect it, a guy with that speed, and that's going to do it that often. So
you saw the majority of linebackers in the NFL are in a mental panic when it's just 5 yards between them and a guy who runs a 4.4. You know, I mean, that's what he is able to do to them.
Yeah, because you have to make a decision. The second you hesitate, you already lost.
Yeah.
But Ken in the YouTube comment section says, one drawback from tonight was losing Patrick. Mustafer still ain't it. Play calling, in my opinion, seemed to change after the first two drives, at least for the rest of the first half. And yeah, I think they smelled blood in the water, because normally we've seen, especially with this team over the last few years and even this year, because obviously it's a different coach this year, even when they're up, they're still kind of just like, all right, let's just try to get this clock to say zero instead of pouring more on. And I know a lot of drives resulted in field goals. Cairo Santos, as we've talked about many times on this show, is just a guy that comes in, punches the clock, and does his job. More times often than not, he's making the field goal and he's getting points. And this is something that me and Q talked about on the pregame. In a game like this, even though it didn't end up mattering at the end of the game because we still won by a million, you need to take the points that you can get. And they took four field goals. I'm sitting here trying to calculate the odds on a Bears minus 8.5, Bulls minus 5.5 parlay, because they had that, like, they reverse lined, both teams reverse lined. So I don't know, man. I think Monty looked good. He had a couple runs where I want to say one in the first half and one in the second half where it's like, okay, he's probably down now. And then like 15 seconds later, he's still rumbling and bumbling and stumbling to get like not even 20 or 30 yard gains, just like 10 yard pops. But still, like,
dude, one of those
Montgomery wants to win and he's tired of fucking losing.
One of those, I legitimately looked down at my phone like, yeah. Oh, this play's over. What? He's still like, and I yes. hear the announcer. I'm like, what? Yeah, it was impressive, man.
Yeah, and Mooney had 50 yards. Equanimeous had probably about the same. I know he had like 4 or 5 catches. Pettis looked good on the returns and looked good on the end around as well. And whether or not his feet were in bounds, it doesn't matter because the show went on and Cole Kmet made a play down the field. Even I saw someone tweet said he looked up like even he was surprised. So this was a game that offensively and defensively, as I like to always say on my shows, everybody ate. Everybody got a piece of the pie today. Everybody made a play, got a tackle for loss, or made a key stop on third down. Like, it literally seemed like if we had to grade today's performance, like Lance Briggs does, I'm giving an A-plus to everyone, and I don't have to look at a second of the fucking tape.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Velus got a piece of the pie. But he was out there. He was a decoy.
You had to throw
most of the game.
I saw his total was 3.5 yards. I wonder if it hit.
Well,
I don't think
I think Belichick was nervous about him, and I think they were carrying a lot towards his size, and the Bears were just using it to their advantage.
He's like that Jones guy. What you got? He's not really doing anything in warm-ups. What you got?
I'm kind of pissed, right? Dude. I tried to sneak that little over 3.5 in right before kickoff.
I had it in parlay too. And I was like, it's the only reason I noticed because it was in my parlay.
I saw it on Twitter, but I didn't even think about it. And I sent you guys probably the net. I had to take a shower after submitting on that slip, but I put in the DeMar DeRozan to score 30 and the Bulls to win, and then Fields to throw for 225 and the Bears to win. That didn't hit, but the backup to that did, which was just like Bears and Bulls pregame spread and then the original like overs. But like Ken said, if you're a Bears fan and like to bet on a little bit of sports, I'm willing to bet that you came out with some good coins after tonight. And especially after how we lost them last week on Washington, I know it felt good to get them back. Right, boys?
Absolutely. Dude, you're going to be – you're honestly going to throw
up. We're dogs for the rest of the season too.
Can I share a little gambling stat here on this game? 93% of the cash was on New England money line.
That's like last leg.
73% of the cash was on the under 40 or under in general.
Oh, I love sticking it to the sharps, baby.
Oh, that's so great. That is incredible. And that's the thing too. There was a guy. I'm going to butch his name because I definitely don't have it pulled up on my screen, but a guy that works for Bet the Edge podcast that said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears got shut out in this game. And, I mean, that guy is taking a cold shower, listening to Drake. Do we know if it's tears or the water running down his face? Can't tell. But he should probably never log into Twitter again. His name is Drew Disnick. So rest in peace to his mentions. He's probably probably got them blocked off for the evening because Chicago, we're ruthless. And we haven't had it. Like I said, I can't be the only one feeling this way after a game like this. I'm probably not going to fall asleep for a while just because, like, again, we don't see that from our team ever. And then, like Joey said, he pointed out, first time they've beaten them in New England, and then you beat Belichick. I don't care. Anytime you beat Bill Belichick in a team where you are clearly outmanned and outcoached, or at least on paper, happy as it can be on that
note. I mean, like, the defense looked like the clear advantage. New England's defense was coming into this game the clear advantage. If you were to give one unit a, like, that's better than the other.
Like the best unit in the game, you would go
New England. The best unit in the game was New England pregame, previewing this game. And, you know, all the matchup articles and all that. Like, that was the best unit coming in this game. Yeah. As Ken says right here. How are we feeling about the young tackles? I feel better about Braxton Jones at this point than Larry Borum. Borum did get kind of whooped a couple times that I was like, you know, I mean, know you're facing some tough competition, but like, I mean, I don't know, like the pass blocking for Borum, I'm not really sold on either one of these guys at this point. I feel like if that's a place that you can improve, you're probably going to at either tackle spot, but you're going to let them ride it out the rest of the year. Cause what other better option do you have at this point? So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's Braxton is probably worth seeing if you can develop, see what you got there. That makes sense to me. But Borum is, to me, he's probably a limited guy. Like he's that he can be serviceable. I don't think there's any question about that. He's a serviceable player. But I don't think he's a guy that you're saying he's a foundational chip to what we're going to do. You know, he's more of a player that you're willing to upgrade the position if you have the opportunity. But if you can't, you can get by with him too. You know, that's the way I see Borum. And to be fair to him tonight, Matthew Judon's playing as well as any edge rusher in the league right now. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a tough matchup for anybody. Yeah. And he... You know, he took some L's on it tonight, but the Bears offense, he wasn't detrimental to the Bears offense either, which is a win in my book.
Yeah, and I think to Fields, as a quarterback, as he continues to start making more plays, this Bush League is possible. He's going to start getting more calls. Because there was a couple that were left on the field where he got at, like the one that he threw the touchdown specifically to Herbert, he got absolutely waxed the second he let go of that. Obviously, yeah. It didn't matter because they scored a touchdown. Maybe that's why they didn't throw the flag. But you've seen throughout the weeks and throughout the year and a half that we've had Fields, him getting his clock cleaned pretty regularly without flags being called. But how about this? So we saw what they did to the Browns a few weeks ago in their rushing game, a game that has, you know, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. Chubb's arguably the best back in the league, maybe the second best behind Derrick Henry, and Hunt's a very serviceable back and would start for many teams if he didn't play for the Browns. Our Chicago Bears, with our terrible offensive line and our terrible offensive scheme and our team that doesn't score any fucking points, 243 rushing yards. Now, if you're going to beat a team, you beat them at the point of the attack and you make sure that they know that you are the more physical team and you're going to run all over them. And that's what they did. And I know Fields accounted for 82 of those, but they ran it every single possible way that you could run in the NFL, the end arounds. They ran it with Fields, ran it with Herbert. Herbert had a little different bite to him today. He looked a little faster out there. And then Monty, too. It's like not much to be disappointed about, but you have to give credit to the offensive line up front for paving the way, because if they're not paving the way and setting those lanes, that 243 could have very easily been 121 or 100 yards flat. But that is – if we can get 150 yards of rushing for the rest of the season, I don't care how many times Fields throws, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, my hat's off to Luke Getsy for this game plan. Like, hat off, you know, that was art. Like, that was beautiful today. Hanging in the Louvre. I don't need Van Gogh. I need more Luke Getsy run scheme. Like, that was beautiful. I mean, the way that they were putting guys in motion, doing the sweeps, doing the tosses, like, there was so much variation to it, and it was just – it kept the Patriots guessing. I said in my – preview article, this game is a chess match for Luke Getsy, and he needs to come out ahead of one of the greatest coaches of all time to win, and he did it. Like, that was outstanding. It was beautiful, and I just give him so many props for the game plan that he put out there tonight. He got the O-line prepared and got them to execute against one of the D-lines who does the most simulated pressures and stunts and is the most unpredictable pass rushes in the NFL. Like, they're constantly toying with the pass protection on defense, and it didn't seem to matter tonight. He had these guys ready, which is huge. Like, that is so hard to do. This defensive line is that they're not the most talented in the world, but they are so disciplined in their stunts and their gap assignments. They're just very good at what they do. And it didn't seem like they were tonight. Which is that's on coaching to me. It's on player execution. I mean, he got Fields to take what was there, what was in front of him, what the Patriots weren't trying to bait him into doing, which is in its own right, outstanding at that on top of the run scheme. Like, just hats off to Luke Getsy. That was a hell of a game plan and hell of an execution, hell of recognizing what is going on in the game and when to capitalize on certain things.
Yeah, I mean, did we even – I don't know. We probably mentioned this earlier, and you might have just now a little bit, but the designed runs, man, like the designed quarterback runs to me were just – like we had not really seen that. And it's like, why? You have a quarterback that we've said it a million times and everybody else has too. He runs a 4-4. Why are you – yeah, we're not getting Antonio Brown. I don't want him anywhere near the Bears, please.
Well, I put Scott's comment in there, so I had to put Ken's response for those that are following on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to call out Scott. I love Scott. I hope he's joking.
I was going to say this also. This is a show of many firsts. This would be the first time I will disagree with Scott from Iowa. But
yeah. Oh, I agree with a lot of the stuff he says. Even
we like all the same teams, except I don't like Iowa football.
Yeah, well, you can go fuck yourself. But – if we're talking like the designed runs, man, I just thought even like when he's in the shotgun, like when he quick, people are saying, why is he just taken down and running with it? Why didn't he even look? When he's in the shotgun, a lot of times it was a designed play where he'd get the ball and he'd just start sprinting and they'd have the blocker set up. And those were beautiful. Like they were not even, I don't think New England was recognizing a lot of the times when they were in the shotgun and he would just take off like that, or it was a designed run. Beautiful, man. Getsy, like you said, Getsy deserves a lot of credit for the game plan tonight.
So it felt to me like they you know, like anyone who's trying to find where to start when seeing how should I attack the Patriots? You know, they're going to go look at their schedule and their scoreboard and say, huh, Ravens hung 37 points on them. How'd they do that? Oh, their quarterback's fast. My quarterback's fast. Wonder if I can use some of the same concepts. Installed some of the read option plays that were so effective for the Ravens, and didn't just do that, but expanded on them, which is that's where I give him so much props. He didn't just take what the Ravens did. He took what the Ravens did and built more onto it, which is just, that's what you want. That's how you find innovation in your offense. It's how you find new ways that you can capitalize on the talent that you have, is by building on what you've seen work against this defense previously. And like you said, like I watched that Ravens New England tape. I don't remember. I mean, maybe they did, but off the top of my head, I don't remember them doing any QB sprint outs like that. And that they worked, you know, their linebackers can't keep up with Justin Fields.
I mean, how about?
I don't think anyone's linebackers, except for maybe a sole linebacker on the team that we play next week, can keep up with Justin Fields, if we're being honest.
Yeah,
but how many of those early in the game too? Like not even just the run calls, but like the sprint outs to the sideline where he get the quick, easy passes early to get him into a rhythm. That's huge, man. He doesn't have to get hit in the mouth 20 times before he starts to feel it like, oh, I'm playing a game, you know, like we've talked about in the past. B-Don, you've said it, how I feel like Justin Fields is a guy who he needs to get hit in the mouth a few times, and then he feels like, oh, you know what, I am playing a game. Now I'm going to come back with this warrior mentality and start balling out, like second half, you know, fourth quarter, like whatever.
He plays better when he gets battered.
That's what it feels like. But, like, get him into a rhythm early. Have him sprint out like that. That play where he had him sprint out to the right, just quick, easy, like out pattern. That's beautiful. Like, let's do that a little bit more often, especially early in the game. You can get your offense moving a little bit. Even if you only put up 3 points in that first drive or whatever it is, get the offense into a rhythm, get it clicking, and then you can kind of take some more deep shots moving forward. I love that stuff.
I think as a rule for the team, and obviously this won't actually go to the team, but I think kind of to what we talked about in the pregame, until we can prove that we're an offense that can convert on those fourth downs consistently, we got to take points wherever we can get them, especially too, considering that this is a team that's 3-4. The Vegas win total for this team settled at 5.5, right? Nobody expected us to be sitting here at 7 games, 1 game away from 500. And in all reality, we should be at least 500. We have kept ourselves from winning more football games, not the teams that we've played, right? And I think the ceiling for this team this season could be around 9 wins. Obviously, a lot still has to go our way. But right now, this is the year that we're supposed to learn everything about this team. Do you remember what happened the last time we had a year like this where we had new guys, we're trying to learn everything about the new quarterback, new coach and all that? Remember what happened last time we had all that all working in our favor, or against us, if you will?
2018.
Went to the playoffs. That guy won head coach of the year. Quarterback had some good games. Definitely put up like 6 touchdowns on the Bucs, stuff like that. So eerily similar, all things considered, right? Highly turned over roster, young quarterback, new head coach, new GM. And you're sitting here right now at 3-4. You've already played the Packers and Vikings once. You played the Lions twice. Play the Jets. I can't even say that anymore because the Jets are like 5-2 now. But you still play them. You still play them, and maybe they'll turn back into the Jets that week. But are we too crazy to sit here and think that, like, this is a team that has an outside shot to maybe get that 7th spot? Am I, like, don't let me walk off the ledge, but don't let me talk off the ledge either. Where are we at on those? Because that's got to be like the pipe dream for this team right now. And you know the guys in that locker room are like, we're a fucking playoff team, especially after the way they played tonight.
I don't want to cool you down.
Don't.
But I'm going to cool you down somewhat. Breathe. Because now it's taken a moment. It's settled a little bit. The smoke has settled. We're fuming when we came on here.
I just got really Cuban, started talking fast and really loud. Like, sorry.
I do feel like, man, it's a shot though. What did we say like all offseason? We said if Justin Fields takes a leap, if he starts playing like the potential that he has, this team can make a surprise playoff run or make the playoffs. Would it be shocking? Absolutely. With this roster, is still a dumpster fire. Let's be 100% honest about this. Game changes nothing. The roster is still terrible, but the coaching staff can make it better, and the quarterback play can make it better. Can they make the playoffs? We've seen crazier things. Look at the Jets right now. Look at the Giants right now.
Yeah, like, no, the entire state of New York has teams that are either 5-2 or 6-1.
The NFL is just nuts right now. Absolutely nuts.
I mean, I think this – I mean, I'm not counting on it, but I think that NFC could get really weird. You know, the Giants come back down to earth, and you're sitting here saying it's the Eagles, and everyone else is just kind of in a bleh. You know, I mean, the Cowboys are pretty good at 5-2, but the Vikings are at 5-1, but, like, I don't think the Vikings are that great of a team. You know, we were a few plays away from beating them, I felt.
Could have beat them, to be honest.
Really, something I just noticed here live on the show is that Bears and Packers are the same record right now.
Yeah, I was waiting for someone to say it.
And The Packers have a point differential of -18. Bears have a point differential of -6.
The Bears lose close, dude. They should have won.
We're winning in the mid-off, though, boys. We're winning the mid-off right now.
As long as we throw out that tiebreaker game from earlier this year. We're better.
Yeah. Wipe away the Packers game.
Yeah, but like, say, okay, so use this for example, right? We put together a game that we put together tonight. We can beat the Packers. We can beat the Vikings. We don't even have to play. We might not even have to play half as good as we play tonight to beat the Packers the way they've been looking. But I think at the very least, like, this is a team that is not going to get blown out, is going to be competitive for the rest of the schedule, minus the game that we play against the Bills. And there's like a couple, like one or two other teams on there that you're just like, probably not going to win those no matter which way you look at it. But Ethan just said in the chat that the Bears got the day off tomorrow. So that's nice to have an extra day off. And then Scott, yeah, well, shit, dude.
You're probably why though? Why? Of course they do.
And then Scott said Dallas, Dolphins, Falcons, and Lions the next 4 weeks. Looks like 4 wins in a row. I won't say that, but if you even get out of that at 2-2, you're still right in it. Where are you, 5-6 at that point?
You're definitely in the hunt at that point.
5-6, and you're hovering over a 30-pound turkey with all of your family, and they're asking you about, are you getting married soon? You got any kids on the way? No. I'm in the middle of a playoff hunt, and if you look on the TV right now, Grandma, we are in the hunt, okay? That's how it's going to shake out. That's
all that matters right now. That's all that matters. Just stay in the hunt long enough so we can open the gifts on Christmas.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I know last week was such a gutting loss and just such a dagger performance that just set the tempo for the whole weekend where you're just like, wow, this sucks. So luckily we don't have to see them lose on Sunday. And then obviously as Bears fans, we complete the cycle before kickoff and have fully convinced ourselves that today is the day that everything goes right. And we're going to win a football game and we're going to look good on primetime. And for the first time in our lives, probably, all of those things happened. Hopefully the boys also won their fantasy matchups. I see people in the chat won their bets. It just looked like an overall W day to be a part of Bears Nation. And there are not too many days that we can look back at in the past where we're just like, everything went our way today. In the ball, that's usually a metaphor that I look to when I look at a game. Even the ball was falling our way. You fumble five times and don't lose it once. Like, come on now. This was our game to lose from the jump.
That's George Halas, man.
He was just like witchcraft, like Darth Vader fingers, like down on the field.
Dude, I'm not convinced the NFL and ESPN weren't aware that this was a possibility before the season, and they intentionally set this up as maybe the Patriots can beat the Bears, and he'll surpass George Halas on Monday Night Football. We'll make it a huge thing because we know that they're going to beat the Bears, and they're going to beat them on primetime, and the Bears always lose on primetime. You know what? Fuck you.
It's the second big time old Bears have been set up to lose a big historic game. Because week two is the same thing with the Packers. But then the Packers laid an egg week one, and it didn't work out for them.
Yeah.
Like, if the Packers won week one, they would have surpassed the Bears for all-time wins in week two.
Yeah. That's it. There, you know what? There is no other explanation why the Bears are on so many primetime games this year. None. Like, there's no explanation at all.
To be the joke.
Yeah. And you know what? I think to put all primetime beds to or all primetime jokes to bed, that was terrible. Sorry, I've done a lot of talking tonight. At the end of the season, regardless of where these two teams finish, I think the Bears and the Broncos have to play like a primetime Super Bowl. And like, it's going to probably mean nothing towards anything. But so far this season, I've logged on to Twitter, and all I've seen is people complaining about the Bears and the Broncos on primetime. Those complaints are no longer warranted or wanted on my timeline after seeing what the Bears did tonight. Hopefully we don't have another primetime chance this year to blow it up. But if you didn't have fun watching the game tonight, even as a neutral fan, just watching good football take place on your screen, which we know this year in primetime we haven't seen. Like, there's been a lot of games that have just been stinkers that offenses haven't moved the ball. We saw arguably Justin Fields' best game of his career, at least his best game since last year on Monday night against Pittsburgh. And I don't know, maybe it's a turning point for our season. I'd like to think it's a turning point for our season because you go into this game and you lose it, you're on a four-game skid. But if you win it, you're on a one-game winning streak heading into a very winnable stretch on your season, as pointed out by Scott.
You know what needs to stay consistent after this, right, B-Don? Me and Q have to pick against the Bears in our preview show.
Yeah. Give me my cake, dude. I picked the Bears to win, only one on the show, and I said Fields was going for 300. We'll take, like, 280 or whatever he gave us, and the interception doesn't count because it went off another human being. It was a ricochet shot.
Okay. First of all, we'll give you your props where they're due, but also, you pick them every week, so how many props can you actually get from picking them every week and then saying, I called it.
Because yeah, you're gonna fucking broken right. Clock is right twice a day, motherfucker. That's why. And I am the broken clock.
But I'll give you your props because I mean, we wanted to be wrong. Me and Q wanted to be wrong. Yeah, you know,
you both said it.
Yeah, hey, being wrong means the Bears win, I'll do it every week.
Exactly. It's a new tradition. I like it. I'm picking against them next week.
It's not
week.
Like I didn't bet on the Bears, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Still got a little sprinkle in there.
My only regret was not
putting your whole bankroll on
well,
it.
Well, that too. But doing the Bears-Bulls narrative parlay, just because, like, the Bulls just lost by, like, 50. We just lost a backbreaker. I would be curious to see the betting handle on that game. But the whole world was like, oh, yeah, we're going to put a Boston sports team in our bet slip tonight. And we're going to win a bet. And the whole world was wrong. And it's Chicago versus the world. And today we won. But, yeah, you get a little bit of some time between you and Dallas. You got a 6-day break. And you're right back to it. And that's a team that a lot better than the Patriots and will be probably, you know, highly favored in this game. And we're going to have to play damn near a perfect game to win it. But looking back at this game, let's run through players of the game because there are a lot of good candidates on both sides of the ball. Joey, you can go first for offense and defense.
I mean, I don't know how you don't give it to Justin Fields for offense. So, I mean, he's a pretty obvious answer. But I will say I'm going to give it to Notre Dame boy Cole Kmet for that back shoulder fade because – yeah, that was a pretty sick play, to be honest. Nobody knew if he caught it. The announce team didn't know if he caught it at first, but he clearly caught it, I think.
The best Notre Dame player on our team right now is EQ.
He was great, too.
Yeah.
Defensively, I'm not going to go with – I hope you guys pick who I'm not picking, but I'm going to go with Dominique Robinson because I thought he was really good at the line, getting the deflection. I actually thought that he did really well early on against Trent Brown as well, forced him into a penalty, if not two. Maybe Robert Quinn was the other one, but he had him nervous. He had him looking a little nervous there on the offensive line, and he made that tip at the line too. So Dominique Robinson, man, one of the rookies. This was like a game of rookies on defense.
Oh, yeah, all the rookies on defense made a play because Kyler and Brisker both got their picks.
Mm-hmm. Each with their first career, and that's why I was hoping I was leaving those.
I wanted Kyler to bring that one to the house so bad, not because I started the Bears fantasy, but just so that I could shut up about Kyler Gordon because I want him to be good. But
he's been better, though.
He's been better. Yeah, the last 2 weeks he's been better. So I will.
Fan favorite, Jack Sanborn made a play there late, too.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Starting to get into that rotation. Defensive player, I'm going with Roquan. I noticed him a lot tonight, even before the interception. Like, I loved the stunt that they put him on when he got his sack. I mean, that is a pressure stunt concept that Bill Belichick loves. So it was almost like a bit more throwing dirt on the wound for Eberflus to Belichick. Like, he used his own concept against – not that Belichick owns the concept, but, like, it's one that Belichick likes a lot, where Roquan is pre-snap, he's sitting over the B-gap, I believe it was, and that him and another linebacker are sitting over the B-gap, and then they both drop out for a second, and the other guy keeps dropping, and Roquan kind of ran around the guys, the quarterback can't really see him, the defensive lineman – in through the A gap and just pops out from behind the defensive lineman is right on the quarterback. I thought that was awesome to see from Eberflus to be using that. Cause you know, you can't bluff pressure all the time and never bring it. It'll stop working. And that was nice to see. But Roquan flashed a lot for me tonight, made a lot of stops. He made a few like just shoestring tackles where he barely got his hand in there, but you make the tackle, you know? On offense, I'm actually going with Luke Getsy. He's not a player, but coach of the game. I mean, I already, you know, wax poetic about it for a moment, but like kudos to him, man. He threw out a great game plan. He had his guys ready to play, ready to execute. They went out there, didn't make mistakes, did what they were supposed to do. And you don't coach better than that. I mean, get your guys ready and hope that, and get them to the point where they can execute, and you have to know what they can execute and that be confident that they will. And he did. He got them to that point and they executed and they won.
So now that I've had time to think about it, I won't say the Bears were trying to kneel the game out at the end. They were waiting for Luke Getsy to get back out on the field. So like the fridge, they could let him punch it in for fourth and one. It wasn't them kneeling. Getsy just couldn't get back out the locker room to go punch it in for fourth and one. Cause he did call a good game, but I think like Joey said, in a period or time where we haven't seen Justin play like this, you got to give it to Justin. And most importantly, he looked like he was having fun out there. He had the smile on his face. He was making plays. He was celebrating. He was picking his teammates up. He was doing everything that we drafted him to do. And he was doing it on the biggest stage in the regular season, which is Monday Night Football. And in a game against a head coach that has beaten the absolute piss out of us his entire career, with the exception of the first time that they played, and a team that you know, maybe was never 8.5 points worse on paper, but definitely not expected to win this game. I think the Football Power Index gave us an 18% chance to win this game at kickoff, which I know that's obviously not law, but I love when there's a big upset like this. I love looking back and seeing like what the simulations and projections have, because I know everything is moved towards analytics. But after I get off,
model, baby.
Yeah, meatball model 1-0 this week, and that's all that matters. So, and if you follow the meatball model, by the end of the week, you should have plenty of meatball marinara just loaded up.
If you've bet the meatball model every game this year, you're probably up because you hit San Fran and this week.
Yeah.
Bet the money line, yeah.
Well, and that's what I had someone at work, not even like that I work with, but one of the customers at work, was like, what, you bet the Bears every week? And I'm like, yeah, especially considering the fact that they're dogs, because you just put the same amount on it every week. Those weeks that they hit, you make up for the weeks that they lose. And in a year like this, where we're probably going to win a few more games than we're going to be expected to win, there's some coin to be made responsibly on this team. But like I said, offense, I'm going with the guy that I got the jersey on today. That man woke up feeling dangerous, and he went out there and executed the game plan to a T. And he played an offense that was schemed up to play to his strengths. Like we talked about in the pregame show, we want to see more RPOs. We want to see more designed runs. And we saw those tonight to the tune of 82 yards. And honestly, every time he gets up out of that pocket, like I'm just waiting for him to break one loose, because we saw a few weeks ago, or just over the last few weeks, a couple of them that he's broken loose. Obviously, they got called back for holdings and stuff. But he is one of the most talented runners, and I mean, he's at least top three, top five in the league at the position as far as running the football, not overall. Obviously, he's got an immense amount of work to do before he gets to that point, but there's not many quarterbacks that I would take in this NFL right now, or even over the course of the NFL, that can run the ball he does, or run the ball the way he does. And then on defense, they just kept panning up to Ryan Poles in the press box, and that's a guy that he's probably not sleeping tonight. It's probably like, well, we're going to have no money left over. I don't want to pay an off-ball linebacker. Why am I going to do this? Because Roquan Smith is the best fucking middle linebacker in all of football, okay, baby? And he showed that tonight. I know the pick was a little bit of a gift, but, like, come on. This is a guy that should have a new contract tomorrow or the next day, whenever he walks into the facility, because this is a guy that wants to be a Bear for life. He is literally dumping his blood, sweat, and tears into this organization week in and week out, putting the performances up in a contract year. Do the right thing for the player, do the right thing for the players around him, and do the right thing for the fan base, because this is a guy that there's no reason why we shouldn't have retire as a Bear. You proved that out there on Monday Night Football tonight. But other than that, anything else you guys want to touch on here for tonight's game?
How much do you just want to like jump out of your seat and like flip over your couch when you see Fields like make the plays that aren't scripted, where it's like, oh, we're dead. It's going to be a 20-yard loss, sack, and he just turns it into nothing and runs it for like 15 yards for a first down. But like actually it feels like it's like 35 or 40.
His escapability so was unmatched. His escapability was unmatched. Those type of plays happened often tonight. Just reaching the ball over the little yellow line to get the first. Like he was all over it today.
Those are my final thoughts. Justin Fields, great fucking game, dude.
Did y'all happen to notice if Roquan was playing the mic and Morrow was playing the will this week?
I wasn't paying that
much. I thought I might have seen that, but I wasn't sure. I saw someone comment that it might have been happening, but I didn't remember to like take a closer look, and now I'm kind of wondering.
Where I saw him lined up though a few times, that would make sense. Like it,
and I felt like Morrow was in a different spot a lot too. Like as far as like playing more outside, weak side, like it felt like usually it's Roquan in spots where Morrow was, with Morrow trailing, and it was the opposite this week. I know that Poles had mentioned that they made some changes in their mini buy, and I almost wonder if they were like, look, this guy's not, he's not the will, but he might be the mic that we want. And let's make that switch and find out, because, and it just, it seemed like he was more almost instinctive tonight, more where like felt more comfortable where he was playing tonight. So that's something to watch if you go back and watch the game. I know I'm going to pay attention to it when I go back and take another look, because I think he's a better fit for the Mike in general. Oh, yeah. I don't think he's the Will backer. So,
and Quentin, make sure you have a nice ice cold beer and like a nice steak in front of you when you watch this game, because for all the ugly ass tape that you grind of this team, you deserve to sit back and watch a game where you're like, wow, this is fucking beautiful. Like, oh my goodness.
Well, I was gonna ask him that question too. Do you enjoy the shitty tape because you can like pick it apart more, or do you enjoy the good tape where you're like, yes, fuck yes, Roquan Fields?
So,
which one do you like more?
Just the Jack Nicholson GIF.
I'll be real honest here. I actually don't review the Bears tape that closely myself because I let Robert Schmitz on YouTube do it for me, and then I just watch it. That's why I review our opponents, so I can try to like pick up other things and try to learn other schemes, other concepts, and try to really have a feel for what I think the Bears should be doing going into the next game, as opposed to analyzing what they did in their last game. So that's why I'm doing that in the previews. I'm going through each opponent to try to, because I'm no savant at it. This is my first year of breaking down the film, so I'm trying to learn as much as I can. So I rely on others for the Bears more than I would like to let on.
Well, does it hurt less though doing that way? I feel like that would hurt.
Yeah, more. Yeah. If the Bears were very good, I'd probably be diving all in on what they did.
Well, as a member of the lovely Bluebird, I'm glad that you are a man that watches film and doesn't have to tell everybody. Because a lot of times those guys that watch film, especially in arguments on Twitter, are just like, yeah, well, I watch film. And Quentin is a very mild-mannered, cool, calm, and collected film watcher, and he does it without having to let everyone know. So hats off to Q for that.
He's not like the offensive line coach for St. Mary's High School in, like,
he's not like St. Benedict. He's not like City,
like,
he's not like
online.
Not like Benjamin Albright, who is literally like roasting over a fire right now as the Broncos are in complete shambles and his takes are falling apart. But yeah, I mean, 33-14 could have been more. All 14 points scored in like a 4-minute span, just a quick spurt in the second quarter. And you dominate. You won at the point of attack. The skill position players played better. And we won with the quarterback and the coaching. Like, there was not one single area of this game that the Patriots won. And, I mean, all things considered, where we were at in our season 3-game skid coming off a game that we lost 52 times on the way to actually losing, I think that Matt Eberflus's culture rose above everything else, right? Because everyone already counted us out before they even did the coin toss, except for the people in that locker room. That's all that matters. You just need those 52 guys to believe. And you may not win every game, but you'll at least be in a lot more games than you anticipate. And today, probably the best version of the Chicago Bears that I've seen in a handful of years, probably a few.
Yeah. Don't give this coaching staff more than a full week to prepare.
Oh, I thought you were about to say, don't give this coaching staff more credit than they deserve.
They deserve.
I was about to start dying, dude.
No, dude, they deserve all the suckies tonight.
Yeah.
I think this is something that you rely on this coaching staff for. They're going to – young teams, young players who undeveloped, unproven, they're going to make mistakes. But they're not going to make them over and over again with this coaching staff. It's not going to happen.
That's
a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah, if you do, you're no longer a part of the team. And I think
they made that example clear, man, this last week or two. I love that.
Well, and that's something that we haven't seen in past regimes. If you recall, I've always asked for an accountability buddy. I don't remember what show or movie that's from, but looks like we got some accountability buddies going out on the Bears this year. They find a way to win this one 33-14. Beautiful on all fronts, and we are on to Dallas
at Dallas, at Jerry World. Dak is back. Big game for us. Big game for them. The Lions, I know the scoreboard's not reflective of how well the Lions played, but the Lions had them right where they wanted them in the half, and they just weren't able to come out and play a complete game. But after seeing a game like this, I'm preparing myself to come on the show this week and say, yeah, we're winning again. Obviously, I do that every week, but I will have more reasoning as you give me a couple more days to get there.
There's different degrees of how you do it.
Yeah. There's the Bears are winning this week. Yeah, if things go our way, they might win. And then there's Bears by 1,000, which is my favorite, my personal favorite. And today, they actually won by 1,000. So it was good to see. A couple scheduling notes, though. So this week we're going to be going on Wednesday for sure. Obviously, a Sunday game. But because I am still a midweek matching guy, and it is just part of my DNA and blood, the following three weeks, so basically the shows in early to middle November for pre-games will be on Thursday night. So just make sure to note that. Obviously, if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, it won't really too much affect you as long as you get the listen in before Sunday. Otherwise, we're resetting and we're doing the post-game. But whether you're with us for a couple minutes or you're with us for the whole show today, we really do appreciate you for listening. Enjoy Victory Tuesday. If you're listening on the live show, crack yourself another beer, have a victory shot, smoke a victory stogie, however you may celebrate. But remember, just as much as the losses, 24-hour rule, we're on to Dallas by Wednesday when you wake up, and we got to find a way to get back to 500. Because if you thought I was believing a lot at 3-4 and a big win against the Patriots, my believe-a-meter is going up like tenfold if we go 4-4 and beat Dallas. So with that being said, make sure to throw the guys a follow at Joey Knows Nothing and at Butkus Stats for Joey and Quentin. And then follow our main account at Bears on Tap. And then don't forget about me at BDon300. But like I said, we'll be back with you guys on Wednesday. We really do appreciate you for listening. And Bear down.
Follow on Tap Bets as well. Sorry, Quentin. Go ahead.
I was going to say bear down. So bear down.
On Tap Bets, because we did a clean sweep today. Ben Bear.
Yeah. You're looking at three versions of Jeffrey Bezos right here. So, appreciate you all. Bear down.